new. So we did calendar time. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. We had recess. We did workbooks. Like, this is how I public, or this is how I schooled, because that's what I knew. And I'm going to talk a little bit fast because I thought I had 15 more minutes. Then when we were done in Montana, I didn't know anything about any kind of government-assisted programs. People said there was something out there, but I don't think we had it in Montana. And then when we moved to Idaho, I had family in Idaho, and they were like, you got to do this. It's so amazing because you get money. And we just heard, how about that, right? Let's just follow that with this. So I learned all about all the free money, and it was such a blessing. Because in Montana, my husband, I was used to him. He worked 50-hour weeks, and he was away from the family. And I ran the roost. Like, I was in charge of the home. And anything I wanted to create in my home, we created in our home. And then I learned about this government funding. We went to Idaho. We quit our job in Montana, moved to Idaho, and started with absolutely nothing, and literally lived on miracles for the first several years. Like, I probably shouldn't say this out loud. Is my husband in here? He doesn't like me sharing personal information, but I really like to. Like, on the taxes, we made 14 grand that year. That is not enough for a family of eight to survive. Like, we literally lived on miracles. And Tech Trip, thank you. Like, it wasn't just the niceties. Like, it did pay for piano lessons, and I was super grateful for that. But it also just paid for us to survive. I wasn't like some people. I wasn't like, what can I spend my money on? I'm like, what do we need that the money could actually go towards? And it paid our internet bills. Like, there wasn't a way we could in my brain, is what I said. And we'll talk about that a little later. Anyways, so this is how it kind of worked at our home. And you know that when you do the government-assisted programs, how many of you do that? I was going to ask this until her talk, and then I thought, will people, like, not even want to raise their hand? How many of you do government-assisted programs? Okay, thank you. No shame, no shame. We're just going to talk openly in here.
No shame.
Absolutely none. No shame whatsoever. I know it's going to feel like it a little bit, but...
I know better.
Yeah. High and mighty. It's totally fine. Okay. I told you, and then we shifted a little bit. Our schooling, I was doing a lot of, like, workbooks and other curriculums. And then when we moved to Idaho, I told you, I'm used to running my homeschool exactly how I want to run it. And then my husband doesn't have a job, and he works from home, and he's home 24/7. And we're farming, and so, of course, he needs all the little kids to go out, not little kids, like, random people all the time. I need this kid to help with this project. And I'm like, bah! Like, he totally ruined my homeschool. Like, I had this flow. We did family read-alouds. And you can't read that without me, Mom. Well, nobody was ever home to read read-aloud together. And I wasn't allowed to read unless all the kids wanted to be a part of the read-aloud. So he totally ruined all of my homeschooling. And it was pretty frustrating. And our marriage kind of struggled for those few transition years. Two major life lessons for me. One was a lawnmower. So my husband doesn't care at all about what the lawn looks like, and I like the lawn to look pretty. So, of course, he winterized the lawnmower, and I really wanted to start mowing the lawn because it was now 2 feet high, and I was really ready for a lawn. But he didn't have time to do the lawnmower. Any of you have farmer kind of husbands, like, there is no time in the spring. He says often, his words... I don't even have time to blow my nose, Rosie. It's like, how am I going to find time to fix the lawnmower? So, of course, I was going to do it because I'm self-reliant, right? So I get the lawnmower, and I look everywhere, and I can't find the battery. So I ask my daughter, who's like 13, 12, do you have any idea where Dad put the battery for the lawnmower? Yeah, she takes me right to it. I'm like, perfect. So I bring that out. I wheel out the charger. We have a battery charger. I wheel it out, plug it in, like, get the battery out. Like, I can do this. And she's like, Mom, that's for high voltages. This is a small engine. You want a smaller voltage for the small engine batteries, or you might ruin the battery. And I was like, oh, perfect. Thank you. She would never have learned that in my perfect homeschool world. Never. But she totally learned phenomenal things. Like, she knew way more than me about de-winterizing a lawnmower. Another experience, I had a daughter who I wanted to connect with her, and Dan keeps taking all my kids away from me, so we can't do homeschool out there. We can't connect in our homeschool where we used to be. So I go out to her. She's out in the high tunnel pruning tomatoes. Did you guys know you can prune tomatoes? So I didn't know about pruning tomatoes. I'm like, teach me about pruning tomatoes. Can I just help prune tomatoes? So she starts teaching me, and I'm like, whoa. I'll be back. I went inside, got my phone, and started recording. Okay, go again. She's like, Mom, you guys should see the YouTube video. It's phenomenal. If any of you don't know how to prune tomatoes, she was young and, like, did a beautiful presentation on pruning tomatoes. I was like, well, that would never have happened in my little tiny homeschool box, right? So I just learned that it's okay if it looks different than my mind had previously imagined homeschool looking. So now people ask about my homeschool, like, what's your curriculum? And I say, we like school. I don't like the unschool word. I think that's dumb. We don't unschool at our house. We life school. We just live life. We live on a farm. We have a lot of science projects. We just butchered 4 pigs in the last 3 days. Last night we were cleaning up. We didn't get to bed till like midnight. Me, because I was wrapping up some presentation stuff, but my husband, because he was wrapping up the butchering project, which all the kids participated in, like it or not, actually. Some of them wish they didn't. I learned one simple truth, but it's not going to tell you. Oh, now it will tell you a whole bunch of things. Okay, Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Maybe God had a different plan than my little school at home structured box. So, how do you engage a reluctant learner? The biggest tip is be willing to change things up. There's a homeschooling mentor, Torianne Perkey. She does a whole bunch of really great little videos. She's got a whole bunch of free resources on her website. But she spoke at a homeschool conference I was at last year, and she gave me a beautiful little piece in all of her experience that I don't know why, like, it was news to me, and that is plan to change things up every 6 months. Like, that's normal. And I was like, oh my gosh, no wonder, like, I get these flows and I create this system and then it doesn't work like in a year, and I'm like, oh, I got to start all the way over again. And like, it's just the reality. We're teaching human beings that change all the time. So we need to be willing to change with them. And how convenient would it be if all of my system could work through all 8 of my children? Like, it would be beautiful. I wouldn't have to, like, but the time that I spend trying to recreate some system to make it work well in our family, like, it's just a lot. It was so nice to have a professional who does this for a living just tell me, it's totally normal, Rosie. It's fine. Like, just change it up every few months. So, couple simple truths as you're thinking about changing things up. And that really is how to engage a reluctant learner. Be willing to change things up. First of all, it doesn't have to look like anybody else's. Your homeschool doesn't have to look like anybody else's. You don't have to finish the curriculum. It doesn't matter how much you spent on the curriculum. If your child's eyes are glazed over, if they cry because they do, I have let them cry and just say, you will finish it. Sometimes nicely and sometimes not so much. We'll talk about that later. Okay. Also, it's okay to completely take a break from your homeschooling. Life naturally will give you opportunities to learn. When we moved from Montana, that was kind of a big deal. That whole move, it was so just emotionally and physically exhausting. And we didn't do school for several months. And it was okay. My kids were okay. Several years ago, I had a life. Life just threw me a curveball and it wiped me out. My little brother took his life and I was completely non-functional for a good solid month. And I didn't do anything with school. I didn't have it in me. My children learned phenomenal lessons about grace and about compassion and about life watching their mom be completely non-functional. and being able to grieve with her and comfort her and pick up the slack somewhere else. School was beautiful that couple of months, and I did nothing. It's totally okay if your school miserably fails according to some standards, and God will pick up the pieces. Our Savior's atonement has a very beautiful, real part for homeschool and mamas. And he'll pick up the pieces. And what you failed to teach them, they may not learn. And that's okay, too. They may not learn that piece. They might have issues in their life from the damage you did to them. Like, that's just real. Let's be honest. But the damage you did, he's going to give them something else that's going to help them navigate it beautifully that he may not have given them if you'd never done the damage. Like, it all works out in the end because of him. Like, he's magical. It's so perfect. Okay, as you're considering the different changes that you might do in your curriculum or in your homeschool, it's important to really think about your why. Why it is that you do what you do. Stephen R. Covey talks about beginning with the end in mind. I want you guys, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to take some notes really quick. What I want you to do is, the question is, what is the most important thing that my children learn? Like, really, truly, what's the most important thing that your kids learn? I want you to take a couple minutes and just start writing. What comes from clear down deep in your heart? Like, really, what do you want them to learn? When they've left the home, you've sent them out on their own, what is it that you want? Those are amazing shoes. You keep writing if this is good for you. But some of you are finished writing or maybe just taking a pause to meditate. That's okay, too. Does anybody want to share some of the things that feel most important to you? Beautiful. She just wanted her kids to be kind. That's a good thing for the recording to repeat. So the couple of comments that have been made is, nothing they can do will take them below the atonement and what the Savior can compensate for. And I just want my kids to learn to be kind.
Just having a healthy relationship, what that looks like, whether it's just dating, friends, once they're married, having kids, coworkers.
Interpersonal relationships. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say offer grace to others, like recognizing where we all are.
Learn that they can learn to offer grace to other people and to themselves, probably, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Family is important.
Family is important.
And to listen to the Spirit.
To listen to the Spirit. Yeah. 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 Because of God and His love, they can become exactly who they need to be. Yeah. Beautiful.
I want to know how to find and then understand the answers they need to find. Like, so I know they're not going to know every science thing, but when something comes up, I want them to be able to go, I know where to look
yeah.
and how to understand.
Love it. To know how to find answers.
How to defend their beliefs.
How to defend their beliefs. Notice nobody's talked about math yet. Or about sentence diagramming. Oh, math. Go ahead. Yeah. I knew, Charmaine.
No, it's being resilient in today's world. We have to have grit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And to
yeah. Learning about grit and resilience. So, how many of these topics of what you really want your kids to learn are going to be in a curriculum? Like, really? I would recommend something that, think about what you guys just did. Try to brainstorm with your spouse and even with your children, and I would recommend writing it somehow in a family mission statement or theme. So we did this when my oldest daughter was about 3 years old, and at first I thought we needed to make it simple, and eventually we'll elaborate and it'll be much more entailed, but it's never felt right to elaborate. It is exactly what it needed to be from the very beginning. Our family mission statement, our theme, we say every time we have a family prayer, so twice a day in the morning and at night, we get done with our family prayer and we say, we're the Christman clan. We work together, learn together, play together, and pray together. We love, support, and serve each other, and we are best friends. We do what Jesus wants us to so we can live with him someday. We will be an eternal family. There are times when situations arise in the home that we can just remind each other, remember, we are best friends. We work together and play together. And we can just kind of, it brings us back to our why every single day. Every day, we are all reminded of our why, what the mission is, what our purpose is as the Christman clan. And that's been a powerful thing for us. Okay. My favorite curriculum, I call On Your Knees curriculum. So you hit your knees and you sincerely pray to your Heavenly Father. What is it that you want me to give my children? Ask him how he would have you teach your children. He knows them best. He knows their personalities, their interests, their strengths. He knows what he would have them become in the future. He will know exactly what it is for your children. I recommend pen to paper and just wait for thoughts to come. And just start writing. Write everything that comes to your mind. Don't worry right now about whether or not this really came from him or is this in my head. Just start writing. He'll help you clarify that a little bit down the road. Sometimes the things you're going to write are just going to lead you to the actual thing he wanted you to get from the beginning. So don't worry about that process. It can look really messy for a little while, but just start writing. Get an idea of what it is that he wants for you, and then get up and make the changes he inspires you to make, even if they're hard. Be open to doing this daily. I don't do it daily generally, but there are occasions where a child needs more from you than a once a year check in with God or once every semester check in with God. They might need you to check in every day. There's some real challenges, and especially if mental illness kind of creeps in to kids and home life, you might need help every single day to know what's best for that day because it's different than the day before. And then be willing to change what you thought was right if he tells you something else. So some of those things he's told me to do have been hard. I actually found this at the dollar store, and it's right next to my bed, so that when I'm in the fetal position, sobbing my eyes out, it's right there, and I can be like, let go and let God, let go and let God, let go and let God. Because he's got you. He's got you. He's got all of you. So a couple of the hard things for me was math. I was doing tech prep, and my daughter was very behind, like a couple of years. She's supposed to be multiplying and dividing fractions, and she hasn't even learned her times tables yet. And the things that worked for my other children weren't working for her. She's my first child to hate me and vocalize it, both on paper and in her words. And it was really difficult. Thank you for laughing. It really isn't a joke. It's no laughing matter.
Been there, done that.
I actually wondered if she was dealing with childhood depression, like if I needed to get her clinically seen and helped. Like, she was not my daughter, and she was super struggling. Our relationship was struggling. She was struggling. It was just really rough. God said, cut math. And I'm like, but what about, like, the power learning girls? I've got to turn in all the things that she's supposed to be doing. Like, I can't not do math. Like, she's behind. She's supposed to be, like, 2 years ahead. Like, how do I do this? And he said, cut math. I was like, okay. And we cut math. He actually later, after I finally said okay to the cut everything about math, he said, you could let her help the 5-year-old learn about addition. I'm like, okay. She started helping the little guys count and addition, subtraction, and she rocked it. She totally felt accomplishment energy. She knew the subject matter. Her whole demeanor shifted. Our relationship was magically repaired, and she knew who she was and had a place. It was incredible, from stopping math, letting go of math completely. And once I did that, God took me to Math Hacked. It was a beautiful program that helped that kid. And it was a really expensive curriculum. It was like $300 for a set of flashcards. But one of the best things that I learned from Math Hacked is at the beginning, when the lady that created, like, why her system works and how it works, she talked about when either of you are emotionally done, table it. Don't keep going. You're done for the day. Like, if you start feeling frustrated with your kid, that's time to quit teaching your kid. You take a break. And when they're starting to cry, which I had done before, well, you aren't going to go to bed until you finish your math lesson. Like, your relationship is more important than math. It's so much more important, or whatever else you're working on. So when they're done, table it. Let it be done. That was like magic for me in my homeschool. Another thing was Tech Trip. 2 years ago, we did Tech Trip and we did Harmony. And when you have 8 kids, you get a lot of money from them. And it was incredible, the help that that was for our family. I don't remember exactly. It's over $1,000 per kid. So, like, we're looking like $9,000-$10,000. That's really helpful, especially when your husband doesn't make any money. So, when God told me a couple years ago to quit that, it's at a homeschooling conference, and God was speaking to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, sick to my stomach. Like, I can't do this. Do you not understand how much money we make? Like, how in the world? Like, I can't afford a printer. I can't afford it. We just heard from over there, right? And I said, okay, I'll do it. And it scared me. I felt sick to my stomach. But once I sat on it, like, that day I didn't learn very much in the homeschool conference, because my mind was reeling and I was wanting to vomit and, like, imagining all the things. And then the next day I got excited. I went to my email and I started deleting everything from Tech Trip. And I could breathe. Like, the burden that was lifted from me, just deleting the emails and knowing I am never doing this again. I was like, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Guess what? That summer, we made money for the first time in 6 years of owning our own business. We made money. And my son, who was probably 15 at the time, had a really beautiful, insightful thing. He said, Mom, I bet that us making that money was because you were brave and quit Tech Trip, were willing to do what he said to do. And the Spirit confirmed it to me. I knew that's exactly. We made everything that we lost from Tech Trip that year. I lost nothing. God picks up the pieces. He works the miracles. And like she said, she wanted to hear all the stories. Like, I can't afford art lessons now. Like, it's not in the cards. But somehow, My husband works farmers markets. He sells veggies, produce, and a fellow artist that my daughter has spent her spending money on a ridiculous price art from her. Like, it's her spending money. She can do whatever she wants, but that notebook is not worth $25, whatever. But because she's her little fan, this artist has taken my daughter. She's like, can I teach her? Mm-hmm. You busy mom. This isn't what she said, but like, when does this happen? She says, I will come and pick her up, and then I'll drop her off 3 hours later. And she's bought her art supplies, and she charges me nothing. Just the joy of teaching a little girl who is her biggest fan. So my daughter, spending money like I wouldn't have her spend, but because that fed that artist's soul, mm-hmm. that she had a biggest fan. She bought her water bottle stickers. She bought her, like, she spent a lot of money on her. And so now I have a high-end artist who sells at Driggs Farmers Market teaching my kid. And I don't have to do anything. I don't even take her to art lessons. God will pick up the pieces. He will create these beautiful experiences for you if you just trust, let go, and let God. Let go of the fear and let God work his miracles. He is a God of miracles. Oh, then that little scripture, then stand back and see the salvation of the Lord and for his arm to be revealed, because he will. He does that. Even if you do exactly what the Lord tells you, have you ever had like the perfect scripture study in the morning and you're like, life's going to rock today because I started it off right, and it doesn't, it rocks you. Like, you didn't rock life. And you're like, what the heck? I did it exactly like you told me to. You may do exactly what he tells you to, and it may not always be well received by your children. I like these pictures. I've been in both places where, like, I am a rock star mom, and my patience stays the whole time, no matter what they choose to do. Like, I'm completely in control of my emotions. And then there are other times that I caused the tears. And if that child had been in public school, I would have been in the principal's office trying to get that teacher fired, because you don't treat kids like that. Grace and faith, ladies, for both of them. Just keep on keeping on. Okay, so this is what I felt inspired to share with you, a few of those more, I guess, theoretical ideas of how to teach a reluctant learner. But some people really want hard, like, tangible stuff. How many of you are ready for a few tangible ideas? So I'm going to give you a couple of tangible ideas. And these are, most of On Your Knees curriculum is really just for you. It's just for you and your kids. So I can tell you a lot of things that worked for me, but it may not work to engage your reluctant learner. You know them, and God knows them. So that is like the very foundation. On your knees. You go talk to God. He'll tell you how to engage your reluctant learner. But that's kind of hard when you go to a class hoping and expecting to leave with these great ideas, and they say, just ask God. He'll tell you exactly. I've been there, too. I'm like, thanks for nothing. So I'm going to give you a couple ideas. These are things that have worked wonders for our family, and they work for a certain amount of time, and then we move on and do something else. But there are also things that you can tweak and make your own way. So before I show you, I need you to commit to me to first double check with God that this is a good fit for you, and then let him help you tweak it to how we'll work for your family. Is that a deal? We good? Okay, so a couple of ideas. Did you just give me some sign? Okay, good job. I was like, okay, I just have to pay attention. Holiday-themed school has been really good for us. That's just changing things up completely just for the week, sometimes just the day, or maybe even the month. Christmas school is a whole month-long process for us. In Christmas school, we do read-alouds, Christmas story read-alouds. We often will go, not always, because I've got some really good books at home, but we have, for the last couple of years, gone on a treasure hunt to the library because they have these little stickers that say it's a Christmas book, and the kids' goal is if they can make mom cry, they've won. And I've told them, if I've never read the book and it makes me want to buy it, I'll give you a candy bar. So, like, it's like, on. And the kids are like, did you like that? Who picked that one? Oh, mom totally owes them chocolate for that one. So So that's been a really fun thing. Just our read aloud shift, and it's totally Christmas stories. Our writing. Now, when I first heard about Christmas school, I asked, Christmas school, what is that? And she said, you just do what you wish you could do and forget about the rest. I'm like, that sounds magical. It's been a really rough summer on a homestead and farm, so let's do nothing. We're just going to be. And that first year of Christmas school was not very good. So I learned that we can't just be for a month. We got to do some. And so we shifted. It evolved. I learned that that's not quite what Christmas school meant for God. So then we have actually done writing assignments. And the kids that are really struggling with spelling, they write, and I have a whole list of things. Like they can share their testimony of the Savior. They can write a list of who they want to give Christmas cards to, make sure their names are spelled right. They get to write Christmas cards. Maybe they write in their journal. But there's a list of things that they can do, real good writing things, not like a dumb assignment. And then they write Christmas cards. And they write it on a scrap paper first. Then they have a sibling check it. And if that sibling checks it, then I check it. And if they have no mistakes, they get a candy bar. And then if they had no mistakes when the sibling checked it too, they get two candy bars. Oh, the kids are excited to write now. And it's something that is going to be good for them because they got to send a card to their cousin or whatever. And that's been really good for us. So Christmas school, being able to change things up. We are a very low-tech family. We may watch a movie once a month, but no TV, like we don't like devices. So during Christmas school, we can watch a movie a week. We can watch some fun family, gather everybody together Christmas thing. And also math, we just double a recipe. Like let's make some treats in the kitchen and we're doubling or tripling a recipe. So we kind of still do some school, but it's disguised. Thanksgiving school, this has been good. We just started it this year, and we write thank you notes, and we have a gratitude journal, and that's their writing, is just writing in their gratitude journal, finding 10 things that they're grateful for. There is power in gratitude, and so school shifted. We did other school, but then the writing is our gratitude journal, and we do a thankful song and a thankful scripture. So it's really small, like more of a mini devotional during Thanksgiving school, but it changes it up. And just change will help your reluctant learners just to have something different. We do Easter school. That's like for a week. We study the life of Christ, but that whole week we take a complete break from school and we talk about Jesus. Like we really try to connect with him. Shekinah, this was kind of cool. We have chosen to quit celebrating Halloween several years ago. And at a homeschool conference last year, so this was our first year celebrating Shekinah, it's a Hebrew word that means something like bringing God's light to man. And so they celebrate Shekinah instead of Halloween, and it's all about light. They have a whole bunch of lights on their porch. It's all a light thing. So we looked up a bunch of scriptures about light, and we had a Shekinah devotional at night, and we lit the candle. And by candlelight, everybody shared one thing that brought them light or one way they brought light to others. And we read a light scripture. It was beautiful. Like, my older kids didn't really care to participate, and that's okay. But the five youngers loved Shekinah school. St. Patty's School, you can have a snow day if the public school system can do a snow day. There have been times that I had a thought, this is perfect snow for a snowman. But we've got our school to do. Mm-hmm. Like it was only the Spirit saying, drop school, go play in the snow with your children. And I didn't listen. I would encourage snow days. If it's perfect snow for a snowman or snowfall, go outside. Like get rid of school. Another thing that's been really good for us is to have, this was good for probably a couple years, this one lasted, where every day had a theme. And you could do something different. It's just a little bit of a tweak. So Monday, and if it's alliteration, my kids, they loved it. And they would be like, it's Music Monday. So in our home, we did Music Monday. But you could do Memorize Monday or Market Monday. Or Movie Monday. Maybe on Mondays you watch a movie and you learn something that way. Market, like you can create a market and that's math for the day and you have some Monopoly money and they get to buy and sell. Or maybe if your kids are older, you actually let them go to the supermarket and plan the budget for the week, and you take them, and they go shopping, and it just totally changes things up. So they are looking forward to Market Monday or Memorize Me. I'm not going to go through all of them, but at our homeschool, we did Teacher Tuesday. So every kid was in charge once a month of giving the lesson. And they got to learn throughout the month. They worked on their Teacher Tuesday for the month. And they got to create a PowerPoint if they wanted. Like, even my little ones that are like 4 years old, they taught about triangles because they want to be a part of Teacher Tuesday too. So they stand up in front of the family. They can have their PowerPoint presentation and teach us what they learned that week. And it's the Teacher Tuesday was phenomenal for my kids. And I really like public speaking. So then I could critique them and help them learn how to be a better public speaker. And that was good for them, too. And that was kind of fun, because then in sacrament meeting, they'd be like, she just said, 12 times. Yeah. So they start just becoming aware, because they know that during Teacher Tuesday, mom just teaches them some of the things that will make them a little bit better of a public speaker. Anyways, so you could do other things. It could be Tardy Tuesday. You start school after lunch. The whole morning you do whatever you want, and school starts at lunch instead of at 8 in the morning or whatever your system is. Maybe a Tech Tuesday, because we don't like tech, but sometimes kids like it. So maybe we do all of our tech stuff. They practice their typing, or they do some math games on a computer because my kids like it. I just don't let them because I don't like what it does to their brain. Anyways, Tea Time Tuesday. How many of you have done tea time? Like a poetry tea time? It's magical. If every single week is Tea Time Tuesday, they just look forward to it. Even if it's only a half an hour. You can have the whole rest of your day be exactly like you want it to be, but just have Tea Time Tuesday snuck in there, and you'll engage your reluctant learners. Workout Wednesday is what we decided for Wednesday, and the kids helped us decide what's going to be Wednesday. We brainstormed ideas, but Workout Wednesday was really cool. My kids, they taught their workout session. Each of the kids, so there were five rotations. We had 5 minutes in each, and then we would set a timer, and then the kid would create a workout. It's kind of fun to do the workouts your kids come up with. And it was like a unifying thing. The whole family worked out together, and we just rotated through stations. I've got a really small house, so it doesn't really – I've tried to work out. My kids all want it. And you just run into each other if you do, like, a workout video because the room's this big, and there's eight of them. But if we had rotations, like some kids, we were just walking up and down the stairs the whole time. That was one rotation. And the other rotation, you know. Anyways, that was really fun, how engaged my kids got in Workout Wednesday. But you could do Wireless Wednesday, where if you have a lot of tech in your home, you completely disconnect on Wednesday. And there's magic in disconnecting. Like, mom can't have her phone, dad can't have his phone. No wires. We just are completely wireless on Wednesday. I liked this Wonder Wednesday. We haven't done it. I don't know why, because it sounds so lovely to me. Maybe it's because that's not what God wanted us to do for our homeschools. But maybe he's ready for me to do it, because it's really sounded fun as I was preparing this. But Wonder Wednesday, maybe you have a wonder jar. And then when kids wonder about something and ask you a question, and you don't have time to give them the full answer that they'd like to hear, let's just table it till Wonder Wednesday. And then you grab that out of the wonder jar, and you go to YouTube, you go to the library, you go wherever you need to go, and just help them understand their wonderings. But that was kind of a fun idea. Thankful Thursday. You could do Theater Thursday. Either go to a theater or create a theater in your home. Thank you. You could create a theater in your home and have popcorn. Throwback Thursday, where you do things from your childhood, or maybe you just sit down and look at old picture books together. Maybe you do some family history. Maybe you do some throwback. And for us, it was Friday Fun Day, where Friday, we don't do any workbooks, any of that. We do a math game. We play Scrabble. We do something that's still engaging their mind, but all game oriented. So it's just a fun day. Maybe you do Field Trip Friday or Father Friday, where we now do Dad School. The father's in charge on Friday. Or Family Friday, where you do a family learning thing. But just some other ideas. I love the theme of this conference, Come Home. How many of you, like, when life's just really tough, you just wish you could be back in high school? What does home feel like? What means home to you? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What's home?
Comfort.
Laughter.
Place where you belong.
Belonging. Warmth. How many of you want your kids to want to come home? Is the homeschool you have happening right now inviting them to come home? Do they feel at home in your school? Is it home? I just, Heavenly Father, help me really think that through. Homeschool, home's the main word in that. Are we schooling at home in this little box that we were schooled in? Or is it home? Are we creating home? How do you make homeschool homey? Do you know you can snuggle up with a kid on almost any, one-on-one snuggle up with a kid on almost any subject, and it feels like home? I love snuggle blankets. We love candlelight at our house. That makes it just feel magical. We can do a lot by candlelight. There's a lot of subjects that just turning on a candle, and it can't be every day or it doesn't feel special. But every once in a while, let's make a tea time. My all-time favorite thing is read aloud, snuggling with my kids and reading aloud. All-time favorite homey kind of a feel. And God can give you some beautiful literary mentors that will bless your family, and every family is different. He can tell you exactly who to bring into your home as a literary mentor to help make that. Whoa. Okay, one more tip is teaching from rest. Has anybody ever read this book? Has anybody never read or heard of this book? Raise your hand if you've never. Okay. Teaching from rest is one of my best tips to engage your reluctant learner. Where you are emotionally and mentally will make all the difference for your children. This is like a 3-hour read. It's pretty short and easy. I go back to it often. If I'm struggling, it's probably time to read Teaching from Rest. The subtitle is a homeschooler's guide to unshakable peace. Doesn't it sound lovely? Oh no! I actually have something at home that I didn't bring for you. Whatever. You don't get it. It was just a front and back paper of my favorite quotes some of my favorite quotes from this book. This is one of my favorite quotes. As happens to all homeschooling mothers, doubts creep in. You feel inadequate. You wonder how you will possibly do this. Your children spend days on end fighting and bickering. You lose your temper. You get frustrated and angry and overwhelmed. Sound familiar to anybody? You realize your middle schooler is behind on math, that you never taught your second grader how to tie his shoes or what his address is, and you watch your house fall apart around you. Just like Peter, the wind is against you, and you begin to sink. Welcome to the water. It's kind of cold, isn't it? Yes, I know. I've been there. Maybe your task seems impossible. In fact, it probably is impossible. So is walking on water. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't you dare take your eyes off of him, because you will surely sink. And when you do, cry out. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He's got this. He always did. Just one of many little excerpts from her little book. That concept of teaching from a place of rest will bless your homeschool forever. I want to now take some time. Mackenzie. Sarah McKenzie, and she reads it herself on the Audible version, and she's delightful to listen to. I think it's fun when an author reads their own book, because then you get a feel for how they wanted you to read it. But it really, on Audible, I think it's just over or under 3 hours. It's right around 3 hours. It's not a very big read. And I really think it's worth the money. It's worth the credit on our Audible.
It's
just
on sale for $3 too.
Hey, it's a wonderful book. Wonderful book. And listening to it's magical, but I will also recommend a hard copy so you can highlight some stuff and then go back and remind yourself when you need that little pick-me-up, because we all do. Okay, now I want to take a couple of minutes to hear your divinely guided tips. How many of you have used, maybe you didn't call it it, but how many of you have used On Your Knees curriculum in your school? Are there things that God has guided you to do that have just been divine for your family? We have a few minutes to have some shares, if anybody feels like they want to share.
I just know when I first started, I thought I was doing the school at home because I was public school, and I loved it. But it wasn't until I let them have more control. Like, I'd give them options of, and I had to kind of be told by someone that mentored me, you don't have to finish even the whole lesson. Like, forget the curriculum. What if just, you know, part of the lesson is okay? And being okay just letting them have more control. Like, do one part or two parts.
Yeah.
And the more choice I gave them, he owned it. And it was finally no longer right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I have one kid that was really difficult for me to work with, and everything became a power struggle. And when I...
Welcome to the water.
Yes.
It's cold, isn't it?
So I was just impressed with this phrase, you can do so much with love. Mm-hmm. And so once I changed my perspective on my relationship with my son, and I realized my relationship is worth more, like you said, it's worth more than the mat. And I gave up a lot of my expectations for him academically so that I could connect with him in love and build a relationship. And now he's my easiest kid to homeschool because he knows how much he's loved and he's secure in our relationship. And, you know, I mean, of course I come across tough times with him occasionally, but as long as I remember, you can do so much with love. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been my motto, especially with him.
Love is always the answer. Love and Jesus, they're one and the same. Any other thoughts?
I had a 9-year-old that it was really hard for her to read. Her eyes didn't play nice together, and anyway, it was kind of like she would voluntarily read Dr. Seuss to her little brother, and then it was like pulling teeth to get her to read even a chapter book. And I felt inspired that I should ask Oliver DeMille's son. I was taking a class from him, and what, you know, about it, like not even knowing why I was asking this question. And he told me that his sister had also been, but the book that had inspired him wasn't going to do it for her. So they told me about his sister had been really in love with love. And this little 9-year-old, like, she had been in love with love since the time she was born. Like, she wanted to grow up and be a mommy, and that was all her whole thing. And so he suggested what his parents of his sister was, watch the
Love Comes Softly?
No. Watch Pride and Prejudice, the 5-hour-long one, and then have his sister commit to reading the book in the middle. Well, so we rented, and it was like back then it was like Netflix, like you got one CD, and then and so the first CD, she's like begging to watch the second CD, which we have to bring in, and then begging for the book. And then she begged for the next month for the book for her birthday. And as a 9-year-old, she read Pride and Prejudice. She spent the whole year reading it, but she went from choosing Dr. Seuss to choosing Pride and Prejudice.
Wow.
And she's a ferocious reader now. Even though, like, there were times when, like, she'd be reading so long, her eyes would just stop working, and she couldn't see, and she'd have to close her eyes. So it was just like finding the things that she had passion for.
Yeah. Oh, God is good. He can do such beautiful things. There's some other things, other people that talked, that I asked, but we don't have time to talk about all those. I just want to end with a quote by one of my favorite mentors, Jeffrey R. Holland. May I say to mothers and homeschooling mothers, May I say to mothers, you all collectively, in the name of the Lord, you are magnificent. You are doing terrifically well. The very fact that you have been given such a responsibility is everlasting evidence of the trust your Father in heaven has in you. You've got this because he's got you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I have a little gift for you if it will bless your life. If it won't, no pressure. Just a little magnet that I had made up. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that will work well on your whatever magnetic thing, come grab one afterwards. Thank you, guys.
You didn't need your notes.
Thank you. She is from
that was so good.
All right.
I think you should pass these out.
I don't think you're crazy.
Who wants these?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Are you in here next?
No, I don't teach.
Oh, really? Perfect. Remind me your name.
Misty.
Should have worn my lanyard. I threw it in the back. But don't shit yourself. It's totally fine. Yeah, you got a better lanyard.
I got a lanyard.
You got the best one.
Right.
His
name's James.
Hi, James.
Hi.
Is he good? Like him, right? Mm-hmm.
So that's your
flavor. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that little...